The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, John engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for Monday, November 11th, 2019, the day America honors its military veterans, whether it be Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard. If you put on the uniform, Merchant Marine, thank you, Bruce Ash. You put on the uniform, raise the right hand. Our gratitude to you, all of you, on this Veterans Day. We're broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Podcasts available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Live line number 790-2040. We begin the program as we do each Monday here on Buckmaster with our Monday political face-off, our team of commentators this week. Bruce Ash is with me in studio. Mr. Ash, now in his fourth term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Allison Jones joins us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Allison is the Pima County Democratic Party chair. We had hoped to have her in studio, but we have the next best thing. She is on the phone. She got caught up in the downtown Veterans Day parade, and traffic was kind of a mess, so we're at least very happy to have her with us on the live line. Allison, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It was pretty hectic, I guess, downtown by where you live, right?
Well, yes, I am working today, and there is no way to get out of downtown, the policeman told me.
Oh.
I did try. He said, no, you cannot leave for the next hour or so, so I'm calling in.
Well, I appreciate it. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Family-run and owned since 85, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Bruce Ash with us in studio. And Bruce, on your program on Saturday afternoon, I enjoyed the hour listening to the veterans that you had with you in studio.
Yeah, General Don Shepherd is just he's a marvelous man, a true patriot. And Benny White, I've known for 1,000 years, and I knew he was a military flyer, but what Benny talked about on Saturday, we really had never talked about. So it was just great learning, because he had a very circuitous route to becoming a lieutenant colonel in the Marine Corps. So it was a nice show. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a good program. That was Bruce's program, Inside Track, 1 to 2 in the afternoon here on 1030. Allison, I want to get your input. The executive committee of the Pima County Democratic Party last March, by a vote, pretty sizable margin there, 27-9, did endorse the sanctuary initiative, but the mayoral and council candidates were against it, and the rank and file of the party voted pretty heavily against it. In the vote, I think the margin was like 71-29, something like that. What are some of your thoughts, Allison, on why that went down?
Well, I think ultimately the question of whether it would withstand a challenge was unknown to many people, and thus, when people have uncertainty, they tend to stick with what they know. We've received legal opinions from some law professors at U of A who said it would stand. We heard from the city manager's office or the mayor's office that it would not. And most people aren't legal scholars, so they depend on what they hear from people who do understand these matters, and they weren't hearing a consistent message. So I believe it was the uncertainty.
Bruce, what do you think about why it went down?
Well, first of all, it was a bad idea. The Tucson is a welcoming city, and the general orders that the Tucson Police Department have is working, and there is a certain amount of cooperation that exists between local and federal authorities, which is healthy and constructive in our community. And I think people just understood, Allison has alluded to it, that there was this uncertainty. Nobody wanted to be in a situation where roughly, I think, 10 or 12% of the city budget could be at risk, as well as grants to the Tucson Police Department, which is already understaffed and undermanned at this time. So I think the voters made a great choice. It's interesting when you look at the election by ward, mm-hmm. you know, it's really just sort of a tiny little postage stamp, you know, sort of surrounding the U of A and then down into downtown that voted for, and every place else they voted against. And, you know, it did to some degree increase traffic, you know, voter participation, and the voters also turned down the pay for city council and mayors as well, which I think, you know, expresses some lack of confidence in the job that they're doing.
Allison, I also your thoughts, and you were quoted in, my friend Tim Steller had an interesting piece in the Star on Sunday, and Tim said that Tucson has this varied populace. Granted, much more Democratic than Republicans, but surprisingly mainstream. And he says that really showed itself with this vote. Would you agree with Tim that it's surprisingly mainstream, Allison?
I don't think it's surprising, but it is mainstream. I think it's the populace is becoming more liberal with time, however. I believe we see that just with demographics and the people who are becoming active in the party. But that's going to be, I believe, a longer-term evolution. We see that nationwide, by the way. We're seeing that is not just unique to Arizona by any means.
Are you saying that the younger people are tending to be more liberal? Is that what I'm hearing you say, Allison Jones?
Yeah, yes. And, you know, we're going to have 4 million people turning 18 between now and the 2020 election. And I don't know how many of them will vote. That's a whole other question. But most of them will probably be more progressive.
Also, and Bruce, you brought this up about the Democrats still struggling on Tucson's east side. The vote over there, Allison, first of all, let's hear from you and then Bruce. The Republicans still have a stronghold, do they not, on the east side, as evidenced by this vote?
Yeah, they do. The vote wasn't quite as convincing as some other elections have been. You know, the east side still does support Republican candidates for the city council. Not as much in Paul Cunningham's district. That also has been a relatively strong area for Republican voting as well. There really were no conflicts, I think, that Paul had with the voters this election.
Your thoughts on that, Allison?
Well, it is true. I think the dividing line is approximately at Wilmot.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been the case for a long time. And I believe there are some economic demographics that are related to this, but it's not new. And we did see that borne out again this time around.
And Bill and Allison, if I can just say, I think Nikki Lee is going to make a great member of the city council. She's well educated. Works at Raytheon. She's a smart person. She's been very involved in the community for a long time. She's got a family of her own. She lives in one of mm-hmm. the most, you know, fastest growing parts of Tucson. And I think she's going to bring some new energy with her role at the city council, which I think is a good thing. You know, obviously, I would have wished Mike Hicks would have won the election, but it didn't happen. But I think Nikki Lee is going to be more probably in the framework of Jonathan Rothschild trying to get things done, which I think Jonathan, you know, the last 8 years, you look at the struggles that he had with the economy and what have you. I think he did a heck of a job for Tucson.
And we had Nikki Lee here on our program Friday. She was our Friday Focus interview. She's a very impressive woman. Allison, do you like this makeup of the obvious? I know you're going to say yes, you do. And Raheena Romero, what kind of a mayor do you think she will be, Allison Jones?
Well, yes, I'm delighted with the outcome all around. Nikki, I know and respect, and I think she will do a fabulous job. And Raheena is inspiring and impressive, and she's really a pioneer in many ways. I think her election not only speaks well of her, but of the entire city of Tucson. Our first Hispanic mayor and the first woman, you know, this is long overdue, and Ms. Romero made it happen. And it wasn't just that her experience on the city council, of course, 12 years, is excellent, and she can hit the ground running. But let's face it, she just out-campaigned people. She's a workhorse, so is her entire team. She had a very dedicated team. She deserved this.
Do you think Ed Ackerley, Bruce Ash, could go do something else here in politics? This was his first run. What did you think of his campaign?
Well, at times it was confusing, in terms of what was happening in the campaign. But as he got past the primary in August, I think he really picked up steam. Had he had some more time and some more money, I think he would have done much better. Ed, I think, will stay relevant. Above all, I mean, Ed obviously is a politician, having run for mayor, but he's a community leader. He is somebody that people respect. And, you know, as Allison was talking about the city, you know, having some moderate tones to it and not being, you know, that liberal, and Tim Steller, you know, said mm-hmm. it also in his article, mm-hmm. You know, Ed is the sort of person that could play a role, whether it's a volunteer and commissions or leading some other organization, or perhaps, you know, at some point in time running again for an office. He's a likable guy and just absolutely dedicated to making our community a better place to live.
All right, Allison Jones, stick around. We've got another segment with you. You're with us on the live line. Bruce Ash is with me in studio. It is our Monday Political Face-Up, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They do just such fabulous work. I was over there on Saturday, Bruce Ash. I know you're a big fan of Moe's. Picked up a piece that, I don't know, I call it museum quality.
And some of the things that are there, they're things that Mo himself has created.
Oh,
he is
yeah.
a very,
He's
very
a great artist.
Talented artist.
Yeah,
above,
I know.
You know, above what the business
is
involved in.
His photography is unbelievably
great.
Good. I know. And it's on view over there at Mo's, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And I was up at, I was calling on a couple of my great clients. I was up yesterday. We had breakfast with a friend and up at Mona's Danish Bakery. I did lunch and everybody else did breakfast. And that's the nice thing about the grill now. Once they fire it up at 6:30 in the morning, it's ready to go. If you want to do breakfast late into the morning, that's not a problem. Check it out. They're open right now, breakfast or lunch, at Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They're also getting ready, of course, for Thanksgiving. Get your rolls ordered
very
soon
too.
Here. Yep, great rolls from Mona's. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off, Allison Jones and Bruce Ash. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Veterans Day 2019. Allison Jones is the Pima County Democratic Party Chair. She's with us on our live line, and Bruce Ash is with me here in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing there at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Before we leave our summation of the city election, Bruce, I did want to get your thoughts about one of the things that Ed Ackerley ran on was that he would be a better mayor when it came to matters of economic development and business matters. There was kind of this fear among, I think, the Ackerley supporters that Raheena Romero would not be business friendly.
Well, there is that perception, and you know, some refer to her as the mayor from the Center for Biological Diversity. I mean, that's where she works. She's closely aligned with Raul Grijalva. In fact, there was an event down at one of the casinos south of Tucson over the weekend, a big love fest with the leftists, and she talked openly about revisiting a sanctuary city. And as a city council person, she ended up tanking the Grand Canyon College deal, and she has been inarticulate on any number of issues. She's going to have to step up. It's a big, big leap that she's making. Luckily, she has Michael Ortega as a city manager.
Allison Jones, what do you think of this fear that Raheena will not step up to the plate when it comes to protecting our businesses and encouraging new business? What are your thoughts on that, Allison?
Well, Ms. Romero ran on a platform of an economy in Tucson that would work for families. And families need jobs. Families need income. So I think that fear is really overblown. We all need an economically sustainable Tucson where we can all thrive. And that's what she wants. That's what we expect to see from her.
Let's move on to the race that so many people are keying in on, Allison and Bruce, and that's the U.S. Senate race with Senator Martha McSally. Yes, Senator McSally does have, I'm not sure if it's one or two opponents in the primary, but it's expected she will emerge from that Republican primary and then face off against Mark Kelly. Allison, how is the organizing going for Mark Kelly?
Well, it seems to be going very well from my interactions with them. He is everywhere. He is all over the state. He's really raising a lot of money, but also meeting with people, which I think is just as important. People can't wait to meet him, to throw parties for him at their houses. Our phone is ringing off the hook with people asking how they can help Mark Kelly win.
Can Martha McSally survive this challenge, Bruce Ash?
Well, look, I can't take any position with our Republican rules.
That's true. Sorry about that.
And I'm not going to comment there.
Okay.
She's a strong candidate, and frankly, Mark Kelly's a one-trick pony. Yeah, he was an astronaut. He uses his wife as a prop for him in his politics. It's really deplorable. He's boring, and I think not going to be a very good retail politician in the sort of image of Kyrsten Sinema, who really has been a great retail politician as she ran for the House, ran for the Senate, and now her actions in the Senate as well. Martha McSally or whoever survives the primary is going to have to work hard. There's going to be more money in this race than maybe any other election in the history of Arizona.
Well, I think that was really offensive language to use, using his wife as a prop.
He does.
That's really disgusting. He is an accomplished veteran who has been to space, and we've had other senators who have been in space.
Look how well they did.
They did well. And I believe that he brings science to the table where McSally totally denies science.
Oh, please.
And frankly, yes, she does.
Oh, please.
McSally is a one-trick pony, too. A-10, 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 A-10. That's all you hear from her.
Well, that's all you're listening to, Allison.
No, we have begged McSally to meet with us when she was down here.
Why would she meet with the Democratic Party?
She
For what purpose?
Fierce. We wanted her to have a town hall.
She's had town halls. She's had town halls.
They are private, invitation-only events. There's no town involved in McSally's town halls.
All right. Let's go to the live line, 790-2040. Joseph is with us on the live line. Joseph, go ahead.
Yeah, Bill, as a fellow graduate at UNLV, I want to thank you for your service for your country. I remember that I know that you were in the Army during the Vietnam era. So thank you. On Veterans Day, I want to thank you personally.
Thank you very much, Joseph. And Joseph, any questions for our panel?
No, just basically, I'm enjoying, and I'm thinking it's good that we're having the type of discussions we have on this Veterans Day. And I think I'll stay away from politics. I'll let those guys handle it. I just want to really focus in on the meaning of today.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. Well, while Joseph brings up veterans, Allison, how has President Trump done as far as you're concerned for our veterans?
Well, very disappointingly. Frankly, he is really disrespecting veterans in so many ways. And it goes back to his campaign where he disrespected these Gold Star parents who lost their son, Colonel Khan, and it continues to this day. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who happens to know something about the Ukraine bribery calls, he is completely disrespecting the folks who have done the service while he sat back with his bone spurs and did nothing. I'm not impressed with Trump's record with veterans is all.
Allison, actions speak louder than words. The VA is a transformed organization over the past 3 years. The amount of money and thoughtful planning that's gone into restructuring the VA is a marvel. And when you talk to veterans who go to the VA hospital here in Tucson, they all talk about the improvements that have been made. Further, there's more money being spent for the VA than at any point in time in history. The director of the VA is somebody who really understands the issues and is working with the president and the administration to change things as fast as possible. And in terms of Mr. Vindman, I'll say this, and it's been written, this isn't just Bruce's opinion. Alexander Vindman, a Soviet emigre to this country, serving in the U.S. Army, working at the CIA, was detailed to work at the NSC. Mainly to cover the tracks of his bosses at the CIA. Vindman is a rogue, and he is not to be believed, and just more situations created by people who have no respect for the Constitution, no respect for the institution of the presidency. This in private star chamber thing that's been going on, and now these public show trials are going to end up in a impeachment, surely they will. When they go to the Senate, the president is going to be acquitted, and the Democrats in a worse situation than they ever imagined. This was a bad move.
You have really drank the Kool-Aid there, Bruce. Because first of all, these sessions that they're holding do have Republicans in them.
Oh, please! You know exactly what's going on.
Hold on, you can say, please, but that doesn't make it the case.
Final word, Allison?
This president is lawless, and he is not above the law.
Okay.
And he needs to go.
All right, Allison, thank you very much.
That's what elections are for.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, presenting our Monday political face-off, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things has been a great sponsor of the Buckmaster Show, 3384 East River Road. Very conveniently located. You can access Green Things right off of River. It's right by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Once you're there, you're going to be amazed. If you've not been there in a while, they've got 13 acres full of plants, but they also have Zocalo Village, five great shops that make up Zocalo Village, and all of those shops filled to the brim with wonderful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. So check it out, ZocaloVillage.com, and then GreenThingsAZ.com. Go by, and it's going to be a real treat for you. Green Things has become a destination in itself. Well, I'll tell you, a destination this weekend for about 300 Southern Arizonans was the Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument down on the border. And these folks that showed up say the border wall is destroying what the park was created to protect, and that is the Oregon Pipe Cactus. With us on the live line is Kevin Dahl. Kevin works as the Arizona Senior Program Manager in the Southwest region of the National Parks Conservation Association. Kevin focuses on issues concerning our parks here in Arizona, our national parks, including Grand Canyon, Petrified Forest, Saguaro, and of course, Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. Kevin's organization is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year, the National Parks Conservation Association. Basically, this is a group of people who advocate for America's national park system. Kevin's with us on the live line. Kevin, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. I saw the pictures you posted on your Facebook account, and really, to see all of those giant saguaros, Oregon pipe cactus, just sort of laying there, I don't understand. Why do these have to be removed?
Well, I don't think they have to, because we don't need to build this new 30-foot bollard wall at Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. This is part of the Trump's administration promise to build a wall all across the border, but there was already infrastructure there. That Oregon Pipe, the 30 miles that it shares with the Mexican border, had 5 miles of pedestrian fencing near the port city of Lukeville, and then impenetrable vehicle barriers the rest of the way. So the Border Patrol has operational control of this area. You know, I mean, it's a very active area, more so in the past for drug smuggling and nowadays for asylum seekers or the people who are coming across the border there. But it's a super expensive, $10 million a mile, very destructive because they're scraping the desert there to put up this much larger fence. And they're going to use a lot of water. They're using a lot of water for the concrete, these giant concrete footers, and then the bollards are filled with concrete. This is being done, Bill, outside the rule of law. After 9/11, we were very concerned about our security and passed the Real ID Act that allowed the Secretary of Homeland Security to waive laws to build this wall to protect us. Well, it turns out we really don't need this wall to protect us. There's much better ways, using surveillance technology and boots on the ground, than building massive walls. But to build the walls, they can waive laws, and they've waived 41 laws that are normally used by the federal government when they do projects like this.
Well, you know a little bit about wild plants, Kevin Dahl. I mean, you were involved with Native Seeds Search. You were the executive director there. You're the author of Wild Plants of the Sonoran Desert, which I think it's still in print, right? Published by the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. Give us an overview on how many of these wonderful plants, many cases live for 200 years, how many are out there lying on their sides?
Well, I've been out there twice during or after the scraping of the desert, and they're still lying on their sides. One of my photos is a picture of the saguaro, pretty big one, just lying there with the wall behind it. And to be fair, the contractors are transplanting some of these saguaros. They don't transplant very easily. It's more of an art than a science, and we many of them look like they live after they've transplanted, but their roots are extensive. And sometimes we have to move or destroy cactuses to build things. We don't have to build this thing. That's the point. It's needless. And not just the construction of it, but having it there will impede wildlife from their important water sources, migration of bats. And there's endangered bats at Organ Pipe may be threatened, especially since they plan to have all-night stadium-style lights on top of these walls. What's amusing to me is that people think that walls prevent people from traveling. They don't. We're unlike wildlife. We can figure it out. Already people have used $100 skill saws that you can buy at any of the Home Depots or Lowe's to cut holes through them. A climbing club in Virginia erected a version of this and had a contest with rock climbers to see how fast they could climb it. All of them could climb it. And the three top climbers did it in under 14 seconds without ropes, without ladders, which is another way to get across a wall. So every saguaro that's destroyed, every tree, all the wildlife that's being impacted is being impacted needlessly. The public was not involved in this decision-making nor were scientists. There's been a petition, more than 1,000 scientists, asking to especially protect places like Quito Baquito Springs, this natural desert oasis that's at the border in Organ Pipe Cactus Monument, that's just hundreds of feet from the border. We're afraid that this construction could dry it up.
Yeah, we're going to hear more about that next Tuesday, I believe, when Bill Doley from Archaeology Southwest is going to be our guest, talking about those archaeological sites. I think there's 17 that are endangered because of this, so that's not a good situation.
Bill was out there with me, as were the Tonantum and all sorts of groups. You know, we counted an average of 320 people at the rally who went to the wall and are basically demanding that this wall no longer be built and that we start considering at the special places where the wildlife corridors are very important, that we create openings for the wildlife. It's heartbreaking, it's tragic, it's ridiculous.
Let's see if we can work a quick call in. David has a comment about destroying cacti. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I agree they're doing it in a terrible, irresponsible way, but I also want to bring it out. There's massive desert destruction a lot closer thanks to the town of Marana. They've recklessly rezoned for massive cookie-cutter sprawl in the Tortolita foothills. I've driven up there, and I'm just appalled at these developers, how they're just so effectively destroying vast swaths of our beautiful desert in the Tortolita foothills. It is just horrendous.
That's a problem, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. In Pima County and in the city of Tucson, they've done a conservation plan. Marana has been, you know, years behind the rest of us around here in planning for protecting the most biologically diverse and important part of the desert and concentrating development where it's not going to do as much damage.
All right, Kevin, we're going to let you go, but like I say, we're going to continue to follow up on this. We've got Bill Doley coming on next week. Kevin, where can people find out more about the National Parks Conservation Association celebrating 100 years?
We've been doing this for a long time. The same people who set up the park system set us up as an outside advocate and watchdog. Our website's pretty easy to find. Just Google National Parks Conservation Association. You'll find us. I think it's NPCA.org.
Are you doing anything with veterans?
And happy Veterans Day to all the people, including my father, who served. Yes. Veterans, because their experience in service are very important to our national parks, and there's all sorts of projects for veterans. If there are veterans listening, we want to get you involved in the parks, in helping to serve our country by protecting, by cleaning up, by doing special projects in the parks. And, you know, we're learning that when you get people outside, it can help with things like PTSD and just becoming healthy people. So thank you, veterans. And if you're a veteran, think about getting connected to the parks.
Thank you, Kevin Dahl. Always a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
Kevin Dahl is the Arizona Senior Program Manager here, based in Tucson. He's with the national organization, National Parks Conservation Association, celebrating 100 years. Comet Discoverer Dr. David Levy is next. Serendipitous having David on. It's a rare occasion. It's called the Transit of Mercury, and it happened today. Only happens 30 times every 100 years. We'll hear from David after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only a three-hour drive. Boy, they're having a nice day over there. A little bit overcast, 67 degrees during the midday at the mile-high elevation city there of Silver City. That's about 5,500 feet. And so check out southwestnewmexico.org. That's the place, perhaps, good starting place before you make your road trip over there. You'll find lots of things to do and all sorts of great places. Again, southwestnewmexico.org. Today, November 11th, of course, is Veterans Day. It's also the transit of Mercury. As seen from Earth, only transits of the inner planets Mercury and Venus are possible. Planetary transits are far more rare than eclipses of the sun by the moon. On average, there are only 13 transits of Mercury each century, and today is one of them. Let's bring in Dr. David Levy on the live line. Dr. Levy, the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. Of course, Dr. Levy, one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, nearly two dozen comets to his credit. David Levy, how are you, sir?
Well, I love that introduction, Bill. I really do love it. I enjoy just sitting here listening to all these nice things about me with no criticism.
There you go. No criticism.
Maybe I'll go into politics.
Yep. So you did see the little dot across the sun,
yes,
I guess.
Yes, I did. It was, so did Wendy. It was cloudy this morning, but it did clear up for a couple hours. It's cloudy again now. And we saw the last hour of the transit, and it was beautiful. The beautiful thing about these events is that it proves that the solar system is a dynamic thing. It moves. It moves around, and planets revolve, and things happen, and nothing. Even though things seem to be pretty stable, we know now that they're not, and that's the beauty of transits.
The transit of Venus. So if we get 13. Transits of Mercury, do we get the same amount of Venus?
Not at all, Bill.
Oh.
The last transit of Venus was in June 2012, or late May 2012. We had another one in May 2004, and they come in pairs, and then we won't have another one until the 22nd century. So they are extremely rare. And I think the first one was seen in about 1635, and then the great 17th century transits and 18th century transits that Cook saw, and the 19th century transits, and then there are two this last century in the 20th century. And I don't think there'll be any until after this century is over. This is really something.
Well, I've been in Tahiti, and I've seen the monument there from Captain Cook's.
Isn't that amazing?
Where he viewed the transit back in the 1800s, and there's a monument there, and they call that the Bay of Venus there on the main island of Tahiti.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful to be able to see it. And if you open up the monument, out comes a model, a working model of Venus. You can wear it as a watch, and they just give it to you. Just kidding.
Speaking of olden days, how about there was a very famous astronomer that we have not talked about before on the show.
Yeah, a very, very famous one. I wonder if your listeners can guess it. I'm going to read to you one of his. I'm going to read to you one of his poems, or at least one of his scientific writers. There rolls the deep where grew the tree. O earth, what changes hast thou seen? There where the long street roars hath been the stillness of the central sea. The hills are shadows, and they flow from form to form, and nothing stands. They melt like mist, and solid lands, like clouds, they shape themselves and go. The person who wrote that was Alfred Lord Tennyson in his famous poem In Memoriam. I got to see those two stanzas framed on the wall of Jonathan Tennyson's office. One of the things I do when I'm doing research in literature is that I always try to see if the poet that I'm researching left any descendants that are still alive. Shakespeare I had no luck with, but Tennyson does have a living great-great-grandson, and boy, did I enjoy meeting him. And right now, as I'm studying his poem again, I'll be the next couple of days writing to him again, because it really is quite an amazing thing. The man had a telescope, Bill, He had a telescope and he used it from his home on the Isle of Wight, but he didn't need to use it because whenever he wanted to get a real look, he could look through any of the great telescopes that England had at the time. And John Dawes, famous double star observer in England, and Tennyson looked through his telescope quite often. He really was an astronomer, but also he wrote some of the finest poems in all of literature.
I'm curious, where is Tennyson's son, or it's not his son, his kin? Where is Tennyson's kin living?
Well, Jonathan is living in London right now, and he is a professor at University College of London, and he is a professor of, wait for it, astronomy.
Wow.
He's an astronomer, and so when I wrote to him, he wrote back within seconds. And he says, oh, I know who you are. I even wrote a couple of papers about one of your comets.
Wow. Wow.
And so that was really exciting to be able to get that expression out of someone who I've wanted to meet all my life.
What's interesting, David, I think you've kind of explored this, and I believe you did your doctorate on this whole connection between literature and astronomy.
Yeah. And I don't think anywhere does it come more clearly than in the closing of In Memoriam. And may I discuss that now?
Please do.
In Memoriam is an elegy to his best friend, Arthur Hallam, who died very suddenly, and I think around in the early 1830s. And he started writing a few quatrains in his memory, and they just sort of wrote them, and he collected them for a while. And then by about 1846... he had found he had written dozens and dozens of them, and he decided to put them into a statement about the progress of science in the 19th century. And it's a powerful, powerful piece of literature that discusses where we are and what science has taught us. And then it goes to the conclusion. It closes on a pantheistic note. He gets back into religion. And I think more than anything else, this epic is a discussion about the role amongst science and religion and how they play off each other and play with each other. And he starts with that friend of mine who lives in God. He's a friend, but he's no longer alive anymore. And then he starts the final quatrain, that God, whoever lives and loves. It's a pantheistic deity that lives everywhere and whose universe is destined to some ultimate goal. Then he says, one God, one law, one element. And it completes this transformative view that from humanity is part of a complex interplay between science, religion, and the universe that is going forward to either a big bang, as we know now, or a big crunch. And then he says it in a few words, and one far-off divine event. And then we know one of those will happen in the very distant future to which the whole creation moves. So I'm now going to quote the final quatrain of In Memoriam to you as my quote of the month.
Go ahead.
That friend of mine who lives in God, that God whoever lives and loves, one God, one law, one element, and one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves.
Hmm. Very nice. I'm going to leave it right there.
He knew how to write poems, but this man knew how to end his poems.
He sure did. Very nice, David. Thank you very much. I hope you and Wendy have a lovely Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you in early December. Thank you.
In early December, and you have a good Thanksgiving, too. We're going to be visiting our family in Albuquerque, and we'll think about your Silver City when we go by.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. David Levy with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're so delighted he's one of our 24 or so, a couple dozen contributors on a regular basis to the program. That will do the Monday program for Buckmaster. We've got Dave Ramsey coming up next with his very popular program here on 1030, The Voice. We're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Thanks to my engineer-producer, John Couch. Had a pretty good day here on a Monday, and we want to wish all of the veterans a very happy Veterans Day, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your service. Have a good day.